Just to let you know, this week we are being sponsored by Adaptix, an Oxford-based imaging company, and their new technology features heavily in this episode. We recently got a good look at their new tech, and we were absolutely blown away.
The Adaptix monitor uses an innovative 3D imaging technology called tomosynthesis. Effectively, this means that it constructs a really detailed 3D image from lots of 2D images.
Yeah, so it's comparable to a 3D CAT scan, but it is way more portable. Any practice can easily install this. It's just a box you put on the table somewhere. And the results are incredible. Well, take a listen to Craig's episode, and don't forget to check out adaptix.com for more information. That's adaptix.com, adaptix.com for information. Anyway, on with the show.
Hi, I'm Mike Brampton.
And my name is Julian Ho.
Welcome to Veterinary Ramblings.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back, Craig.
Thank you for inviting me back. I didn't think this would happen again. I didn't think people would watch the first time, so...
Well, yeah. We did say you're only back the second time to apologise for the first, but in fact we were lying because you welcomed back with open arms.
In the laugh.
Fantastic. So what have you... Bring us up to date. What have you been up to since we last spoke to you? Are you still working in exotics? You're still doing all that stuff?
Yeah, so still the nursing team leader for the exotics department at a multidisciplinary hospital in St. Helens called Rutland House, where we're seen through by Molly Varga Smith, who's the main vet. We've got a new vet who started with us a couple of weeks ago, and she is currently in India. They have a thing called the Kite Festival, so yeah. Flying kites.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I've seen that. Now, James May in India, they showed a kite festival there, and they have to try and soar through the kite strings, don't they?
Yeah.
She's not there to fly the kites. She's there again. Oh. Kite. She's there with the Indian government. Her name is Sophia. She's amazing. And she is there to help the injured wildlife that get damaged from the kite festival. And she has been sending some amazing pictures of bats that have been caught up. She sent one the other day where they did an ultrasound and found out that there was a fetus there, and that still had a heartbeat. They fixed its wing and then it gave birth at the centre.
Wow.
She sent pictures of... Wow. Every type of bird that you can potentially think of. She looks the happiest I've ever seen in any of her pictures.
Fantastic.
So she's currently there. I've got another vet who works with us. She works primarily with First Opinion called Charlie, and she works with us one day a week to gain her experience, and she's hoping to do a certificate very soon. And then there's myself as the nurse, and I have Gemma Birchall, who is an absolute godsend, who is with me 2 days a week, and she does dermatology 2 days a week. And we are crazy busy, and we can never complain about being busy, but my God, we're busy.
Excellent stuff.
The problem is we always complain, don't we, because on a quiet day you say, oh my God, it's quiet.
Yeah,
it's always too quiet.
Oh no, but the quiet days I can catch up with admin and paperwork and little bits like that. On a side note from that, I completed my Gowling and Fraser certificate. So I did 5 certificates over the space of 2 years, which gave me a diploma and a certificate. So I'm now a diploma holder in exotic nursing. Thank you.
That's amazing. So DIP VNZS.
Yeah, I've got 3 modules left to finish currently on an ECC certificate. Which has been so much hard work. And then looking at the future, October, Harper Adams are running a brand new course on veterinary nursing of exotic species, and that's another diploma. And it's the first year they're doing it, so I'm like, yeah, let's go for it. Let's do it while I'm still on BVNA Council and get all of that stuff sorted as well. And Council's going great, and you can see anything from BVNA out there and all of the amazing stuff we're doing. But the main focus at the moment is protecting the veterinary nursing title.
Yeah,
and we're working hard. We've had a couple of stints where we've gone to Parliament. We've met some politicians, and I have to be very careful because I do have a Scouse accent, and we know what the party in blue think of Scousers.
Did you read that in the Sun by any chance? You read that in the Sun newspaper, didn't you?
The best conversation I had, and I won't mention her name. She was a lovely lady from Scotland, she was chatting away to the RCVS, and I was talking to another politician, and she came over and she went, Scouser. And I went, yeah. And she went, honorary Scot. And I went, yeah. And then she told me everybody that she disliked within the House of Parliament, which is brilliant.
Oh, fantastic. So she's out, presumably. That would have been overheard.
Yeah. But everybody we spoke to was very interested. And they were all there primarily on an animal welfare point. And the protection of the title will help animal welfare and it will help protect our jobs and things like that. The problem that we have currently is that anybody can walk into a veterinary practice, call themselves a veterinary nurse with no training and no education. And it's just for us to protect the darn hard work that every veterinary nurse out there does to be where they are, and the extra training and the CPD and everything else on top of it.
Absolutely. I just want to add a bit to that, because it may come as a surprise to some people listening in that if they go into a practice and they see the vet, they see the vet nurse, they should really be looking to see whether the vet nurse has a badge from the Royal College of Veterinary Surgeons. There we go. Now, those who are looking on a visual format will see said badge that Craig's holding up. Those people are registered veterinary nurses, RVNs. And as Craig said, people can set themselves up as a vet nurse in a practice that perhaps is less scrupulous. I'm going to actually come out there and say a practice that is rubbish. If a practice has veterinary nurses, I'm holding my fingers up in these sort of quotes, if a practice has a vet nurse that isn't qualified and is calling him or her a vet nurse, then that practice is not good and shouldn't really be allowed to remain open. Veterinary nurses should have a protected title. They should have a protected status of registered veterinary nurse, because they have had training that will absolutely increase the welfare of your pet. And from all aspects, from the husbandry aspect, from the medicine, the surgical aspect, from the anaesthetic aspect, and if you're a practice that doesn't have registered veterinary nurses, but just has people pretending to be nurses, then leave. Thank you.
Off your horse.
I'm off my horse now. There we go.
Excellent. It's an important thing, isn't it? And we love our vet nurses, because they do put a hell of a lot of work in to get qualified, and it's really frustrating to be undermined by somebody who can just rock up and go, "Hey, I'm a doctor."
Nurse.
And the thing is, registered veterinary nurses, we never say that we're vets. We never try and push our qualification any further than that, because we're not. It's a completely different subsection of what we actually do. I couldn't do my job without vets. Vets really couldn't do their job without nurses.
Really couldn't. Nor would we want to.
No, you'd never get tea or coffee either.
We know. No, I could not do any of the surgery I do without a veterinary nurse telling me how the patient's doing, telling me that I've forgotten to do this or that, nagging me to give more analgesia. In all seriousness, I could not do the job at all without a veterinary nurse, nor would I want to.
Yeah. That's a great recap, Craig. So that's brought us up to date. So what's new for the future then? What you been up to? What you been playing with?
Playing with? I've been trying to play that guitar, but it's not going very well because I've not got time.
Surprise.
But in practice, we've been playing with a new piece of kit that we've got, which is called the Adaptix, which is a kind of a 3D X-ray machine, which we've got in practice.
What?
Have you heard of it?
That's right.
I'm smiling from ear to ear because I've used the Adaptix and I really want one. I crave an Adaptix, but Mike doesn't know what it is. So do you want to tell Mike what an Adaptix is?
So you know what an X-ray machine is?
Yeah.
An X-ray machine gives you a nice flat 2D image and you can see all of the bones and things like that. That's there. What the Adaptix does, it takes about 50 to 70 X-rays at different focal levels throughout the patient. So from the X-ray plate, which is a tabletop kind of unit, so you can just put it onto any surface that you've gone, it lives there.
The whole thing's about the size of a laser printer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not big at all. It's like a massive microwave type of thing with no door in it. So you can put your patient on it. It will take it from the plate level about 70 layers up. You measure your patient and say how deep the patient is.
Right.
And it takes these pictures. And then almost instantaneously, probably about 10, 15 seconds, it creates a sliced up 3D image, let's call it. And you can then rotate on your middle button of your mouse and it can scroll through that patient to see what's happening. So you can see, say you're looking for a spinal problems, you can zoom through so you can see directly within those spinal areas. If you're looking for dental abscesses, you can go to that allocated tooth and you can move through that area and see where that abscess moves through. It's brilliant. It's a lovely piece of kit.
It really is. I'm going to add to that because what Craig says is absolutely true. It does these slices and you can zoom through each slice. But just to compare that to what you'd see on a normal radiograph, if you've got, okay, I'd say a dog or a cat, but Craig would say you're a bearded dragon or a Komodo dragon.
A Komodo dragon.
X-ray blade. and you take a lateral view, a sideways X-ray of its skull, then you've got the right side, cheek teeth, nasal passages, left side, cheek teeth, and cheek. Right. All superimposed.
All squashed into one flat image.
Together. And so when you look at it, you've got to try and work out, okay, that I can see a sort of vague thing that could be a dental abscess, tooth root abscess. Which side is it? Is it left or right?
Okay, so using the 3D then, you're going to have to talk to me about CT scanners and get me off MRIs and CTs because it's obviously not that. But so using this thing, you can differentiate between the left side and the right side.
Yes.
And the bottom.
And
depending on which
the outside of the tooth, the inside of the tooth, the other side of the tooth, the left nasal chamber, the nasal septum, the right nasal chamber. You can look to, it's within a millimetre or two, depending on the size of the animal, the number of slices you've got.
Wow.
You can look to millimetre or 2 millimetre accuracy.
Yeah. But the best way to describe how you look through it is if you look through a microscope and you zoom in over a kind of a larger object, but it cuts through each one of those sections. It is different from a CT scanner. I will give you that, which also means that the price comparison is a lot cheaper than a CT scanner. Okay. And it's also cheaper for your clients as well to have a CT scanner. And it's much quicker than doing this. So with a CT scanner where it takes the slices as it spins through and it takes slices of the patient, the computer makes up the areas in between.
Yep.
With the adaptive system, it doesn't give you those areas. So you do have little gaps that run throughout that system. And where Julian was saying you can differentiate between the left-hand side and the right-hand side, the inside of the tooth, the outside of the tooth, you know that because they're numbered and they're numbered from the bottom up. So if you're looking at slice number 4, you know that was the slice that was closest to the plate.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It's smaller than a CT scanner. So a CT scanner, you'd need a separate room for, quite a large room with its own dedicated 30 amp electricity supply. And you can't move it. That's the thing. You can't think, tell you what, I might just pop the CT scanner over the other side of the room today or pop it in the consulting room. Or I've just finished doing a fracture repair. I want to make absolutely certain that the wrist bones are nicely aligned. I'll just bring the CT scanner in. Can't do that.
I'm quite sure a lot of our listeners and viewers are familiar with the great big donuts, the MRIs, and the great big CT scan. So you can move this thing around.
Yeah, it's the size of a colour printer.
Yeah, it's about 15, 20 kilos, probably more 20. I've seen it used where, as Julian said, with orthopedics, where you can... So in orthopedics, when you've fixed the bone, that's the issue. You may then need to transport that patient out of the theater into the x-ray department, take the x-rays, then realize that you've driven that screw 3 millimeters too long and it's in the wrist joint. So you have to then take it back into theater and prep it and things. You can literally lift that patient up, place it on top of the Adaptix machine, clear the room, take the picture. 20 seconds later, it's there. Oh, we've driven it too far. We can drive it out a little bit, take another picture. It's in the right place. You are saving time. You're saving time, which is always money, but you're also saving money on equipment costs, removing the patient's anesthetic cost, anesthetic time. So all of those are also saved because you can just lift this piece of equipment underneath the patient.
Wow.
Yeah.
What about radiation? This is using x-rays, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it is. And it's still covered by the Ionizing Radiations Act. So you still have to get a dedicated area set up for it, but you can get several dedicated areas set up for it quite easily if you chat to your local radiation protection advisor. It's not emitting. The tiny amounts of x-rays that are emitted, really small, and so there's a 2-meter exclusion zone around there.
Yeah, we do 2 meters. We were advised by RSA to do 2 meters exclusion zones on those areas. Our theatres, for instance, we're probably about 3 meters away from the table. So we're outside the room when we take that picture. It's a little bit how we used to do it when we used to use fluoroscopy. It's much lower radiation than what fluoroscopy unit does. Wow. Fluoroscopy, for people who don't know, is a video x-ray, but it's a two-dimensional, like taking a normal x-ray.
Yep. So how did you come across this piece of kit then, Craig?
We mentioned BVNA. I was working on a BVNA stand at a Congress, and we had
would that be BSAVA Congress? Just checking.
Was it BSAVA Congress as well?
Yeah, I thought so.
Gentlemen, please.
It's second best BVNA Congress for now.
One of the two best conferences.
Right. For our American listeners, what we've got going on here is a battle between the British Veterinary Nurse Association and the British Small Animal Veterinary Association. So that's the BVNA. That's Craig in the blue corner, and the BSAVA, that's Julian in the red corner. We're not going to ring a bell. You be quiet, Julian. I want to hear what Craig has to say. I want to find out all about this piece of kit he's got.
Yeah. So I was at the second best veterinary conference in the BSAVA, and I was working on the BVNA stand. Next to us was a company, and they had a magician. So most of the time when we were quiet, we were watching the magician do his magic. And just beyond him in the future was some more magic. It was this new piece of kit that I'd never seen before called Adaptix. So during my small breaks, I'd go over and I'd listen. And it's just too good to be true. These images are too good. What's happening? And I listened to it for 2 days. And on day three, Marley Vargas-Smith came to Congress. And we planned to meet up and have a coffee and a chat because we weren't in the office. It's just nice because we're good friends. We've known each other for more years than either of us would like to say. And if her pockets were deep and we wouldn't have got in trouble with the practice, we would have bought a unit there and then. We were so impressed with how it was. And then I saw them again at some other conferences around, and they were there in the background. And we don't need to mention them. And then 12 months later, again, working on the BVNA stand at BSAVA Congress, Adaptix were there. And I knew they were about, but Gemma, who I mentioned earlier on, was there doing CP day. She came over, we had a chat, we grabbed some lunch together. And as we were walking through the exhibit hall, we walked past the Adaptix stand and I grabbed Gemma by the shoulders, really excited, and went, Gemma, you need to see this kit. It's amazing. And told everything I knew about it, not realizing that the managing director of Adaptix was stood behind me. Luckily, I said good things because good. We then sat down and we had a conversation, and we're very lucky that we were able to get a unit for a small period of time on a trial basis.
Wow.
Just to make me very happy and just so we could sell it to the practice at that point. And as they say, the rest is history, because they sent me an email and said that there was two men who would like to speak to me about Adaptix, and here we are.
And we are those two men. This Adaptix, I love it. You're preaching to the converted about it. I wish we had one at our practice. I mentioned the fact that if you take an x-ray of a skull, you've got all these overlayered skull bones and teeth and things. But does it have other advantages? How would you compare it to say, just a normal x-ray?
First of all, I don't need to fight with orthopedics to get into x-ray, which is always dangerous because the machine's there. We can do it. It's silent. It's quick. It gives you that little bit of extra detail. But I also think the images are really good as well. The images seem to get through because it's got those slices and you don't have that superimposition. Mm. You can see the nasal turbulines a little bit better. You can see where you've got kind of destruction from certain aspects. You can see where there's destruction on those tooth roots. But we use it a lot in our exotics. So I can stick a bearded dragon on there and take a image really quickly and get a full bearded dragonogram, for instance. We use it a lot on, because it's such so low radiation levels, everything's an gram. Like talk about that. It's a rabbit, a gram, a guinea pig, a gram.
Yeah.
We use it on birds that come in from wildlife to see if they've got any broken wings. We can see if there's been any pellet shots that have gone in there quite quickly. Identification on where they're located is a lot easier on this system as well.
Mm-hmm.
For our wildlife, because we can see where that pellet is rather than, yes, there is a pellet. So we use it a lot on our wildlife and on our exotic side. It saves me having to do as many x-rays as well sometimes. For a standard rabbit x-ray. I'm looking at doing between 7 and 11 x-rays, depending on what we're looking for, of just the head, let's say. If I do it on this machine, I don't need to do as many oblique views or left and right and what have you, because we can get them a lot quicker and we can zoom through on the system.
So that sounds like there are three initial implications I can think of. One is obviously time. If you've got the patient under an anesthetic or a sedation, there's less time for that.
Yes.
The other thing is cost. It must be then more cost effective to be taking just one, albeit of perhaps more expensive imaging modality. I do dental x-rays all the time, and you take your 8 shots for standard oral view, and that comes out as 15 because the first 8 weren't particularly good, so you've retaken a few, and one of them was okay. You spent half an hour over it, whereas in this case, you've got, 30 seconds? You've got the whole lot?
Yeah.
And so the third thing is much less radiation. If I'm taking 8 shots at quite a high x-ray load to get a full mouth view, and you're taking one shot, if you like, with the Adaptix, that there's massively reduced amounts of radiation to the patient. It's got to be good.
It's not just the patient, it's also the operators as well. It's just as a safety RSA thing, and you're taking less x-rays, as you say. And also because of the size of the machine and because you can zoom in and out, you're not having to faff around with those little tiny dental x-ray plates. And people who are good at taking dental x-rays are amazing at taking dental x-rays. And then there's the rest of us. And I'll put myself in as the rest of us group. And those plates are very small. They break very easily. They're easily damaged. If you have the automatic digital ones, they're even more expensive and they damage as well, just as easy. With this unit, unless you're going to drop it, I don't think you can break it that much.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Unless your bearded dragon creates merry hell. Or you do put a Komodo dragon in there by mistake.
Yeah.
I think Craig would know the difference between a bearded and a Komodo.
Depends how old it is.
Yeah, very old bearded versus very young Komodo, newly hatched.
Yeah, about the same size. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
One breathes fire, obviously, the other doesn't.
The bearded dragon breathes the fire.
Yeah.
Okay. I've just got images of YouTube videos of Komodo dragons hunting deer.
They're not vegans.
No, they're not, are they?
Very few vegan Komodo dragons in the world.
And they're very small deer.
Right. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't believe
you. Little pygmy muntjac. Yeah.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So it's quicker, it's cleaner, and it gives you a better image.
Yeah.
Mike, you've got some images, haven't you? Do you want to share the
screen? Is that what you sent me?
Yeah. I just...
Oh, hang on a minute.
Let me send you stuff.
Let's see. So for our listeners, I'm just going to quickly share my screen here and put a series of x-ray images up on the screen.
These are of a
cat. Can you see that okay?
Yeah.
Yep. So
that's more like an MRI than an x-ray.
Yeah, so the slices do look more like an MRI, where you can zoom through an MRI or a CT. And as you can see on the, to our listeners, this is going to be awful, but the image on the left, you can see with the cat skull, you can see that you've got more definition of the nose and what the structures look like within there. And on the image on the right, the top image shows that there's a microchip, but that microchip will be further placed inside of the patient, that when you move away from it, it's not in the way. It doesn't superimpose over any of the images. So if you've got any spinal damage or anything, that's where that sits, you're going to be able to see it because you can move down in the slices and you can move into the spinal vertebrae, so you can see what you're looking for on the inside as well. Yeah. I hope that makes sense to the listeners.
That's incredible. I was going to say, it looks almost as if we've taken a slice through the spinal cord here on the image on the right.
It does, which would, let's face it, be a bad thing.
Very bad thing.
Yeah.
We've not done contrast because we don't do a lot of spinal work. If the hospital has spinal work, it has MRIs or CTs, we've not used the Adaptix on it. But I'm pretty sure if you put contrast medium through that area, you would be able to see where the areas of damage were.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a myelogram, that's what you mean. You put a bit of contrast in there. If you then go on and do a hemilumnectomy, you can work out whether to do it from the left or the right side, depending on where the maximum displacement is.
Yes.
I think I'm just looking at this cat's nose as well, the center one at the bottom. And it almost looks like cat's whiskers flowing back across its nose. But of course, those are the bony structures inside the nasal cavity, aren't they?
Absolutely. Yes. The nasal turbinate. So you could see if there was a tumor there. Now, there's no way you could pick out a tumor of a nasal turbinate on an ordinary x-ray.
And you'd also be able to see if there's destruction there from something like aspergillus or something where it's broken down those bones. You'd be able to see that within that structure because you've not got hard bone at the top that would be superimposed over it on a regular 2D x-ray.
Absolutely incredible. Incredible.
Yep. It just removes the layers above and the layers below and just shows that one layer. And then you scroll upwards and downwards through that. Oh, that's amazing stuff. Really good.
As a physiologist, that sort of talks to me about talking about cats. And they are obviously very reliant on the sense of smell.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why would evolution put all of that structure in the nasal passage to split up their scent or their breathing? But that we digress. I mean, mind blown.
When haven't we digressed?
Oh, you. Well,
all I'm going to say is I'm surprised Julian didn't say that was a CAT scan, but we'll move on now. Maybe his jokes have started to get better.
Yeah.
No, done.
We'll move on to lab tests next. Yeah. Who's going to tell? Are you going to tell the joke? Because some of our listeners won't have heard it, I'm sure.
No, go on.
I'm not going to tell the joke. You tell the joke.
About the chap who brings this dog in.
Yeah.
He carries it into the practice and says, "I'm very worried about my dog." And the vet looked at it and said, I think it's dead. He said, "No, it's definitely not dead. It's my dog. It's definitely not dead." He said, "But put it on the table and we'll run some tests." And the first thing he does is listen to the stethoscope. He shakes his head and he says, "No, I think we'll do some more tests just to be certain." And he brings one of the practice cats in that comes along and sniffs it and goes, "Meow," and wanders off. And then he brings a dog in, and the dog looks at it, and there's this, "Oh," as he looks at it, and off he walks, and the vet says, "There we go." He says, "Definitely dead." He says, "No, you convinced me." Yeah, it's a real shame. I love that dog. "Well, thanks for your help." And the vet says, "Well, we're good. They don't rush off. You've got quite a large bill, I'm afraid. It's £500. He said, £500? He says, "Yeah, £250 each for the CAT scan. And then there's the lab test." See, it doesn't work because you already told us. You told us. No, I'm sorry. That's really funny. And you've ruined it by telling the end. I'm very annoyed.
Oh, it's my fault that it was a crap joke.
Yes. It's not a crap joke. It's your fault. You ruined it. It's a brilliant joke. You ruined it.
Oh. Me and Mike have just learned not to laugh because if we laugh, you continue with the bad jokes.
I do warm. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, we're not having any of that stuff. Okay, so you've used this routine on cats and bearded dragons. What else have you put through this thing?
Crazy things, bats. We put some bats through that had a broken finger to see exactly where it was broken so that we could fix it. And then we managed to fit and we...
Hey, whoa, hang on a minute. You fixed a bat's broken finger?
Yeah, so the end wings that you'll have on the bat, that's the fingers. We knew that there was a problem with it, so we ran it through the machine. We would have normally used the dental x-ray machine if we needed to find it, but we were able to allocate it completely on this. We then strapped it with MicroPort tape and then retook an x-ray to make sure that we'd put the bones into alignment. We saw it back a couple of weeks later and we took an x-ray again. It went off with one of the British bat workers. This was a long-eared bat that we don't see very often. And it healed really nicely and really well. So that's probably the smallest thing we've put through. That was probably about 7-8 grams.
8 grams. I find it amazing. I've healed or treated a couple of bats with broken fingers. And I've been amazed each time they've healed because the skin looks so thin. You think there can't be any blood vessels here. How can there be enough blood to actually make the underlying bone heal? It's amazing. Absolutely incredible. But they do. They heal very well.
I'm glad you said you just strapped it up with MicroPort and you didn't pin and plate it.
It was touch and go. It was touch and go. But we've done that. We've put our rabbits through it quite regularly, our guinea pigs. It's quite nice because I can do if people know me and they've seen CPDs and things I've done, I'm a big advocate for conscious radiographs. And this just makes, it's another kind of radiograph we can do, which is conscious and much quicker. The patients just sit there. We use it a lot on wildlife. We use it on all of our lizards. So we'll stick our bearded dragons and our leopard geckos. We've done some fish. We did a frog the other week, an axolotl that we put through and that had swallowed some stones. And we needed to see if the stones were in the stomach or in the intestine. So we needed to, so we used the machine at that point to zoom through to see where we were on those levels.
Where were the stones?
They were in the stomach, unfortunately, previous to the owners having it. That then progressed on to surgery. We tried to remove them endoscopically, but the grabbers wouldn't grab hold of them. Mm. So we went ahead and we did surgery. From a geeky nursing standpoint, the anesthetic's the weirdest thing to do. You use two syringes.
And you to remove the external gills.
You have one with anesthetic agent in it, and you have one with the water from the normal tank. You use a Doppler to listen to the heart rate. If the heart rate increases, you apply more of the anesthetic liquid onto the gills. And if the heart rate drops, you then put the water onto the gills to change your anesthetic levels as it goes through. It's amazing to do. I love doing it. It's the same as when you do it on fish. We remove them surgically. And then other cool bits of kit that we've got in practice, we then use fovea gel on the wound to encourage healing. Fovea gel is a uric acid based, and you illuminate it with cool blue light that encourages blood vessels to the surface and breaks down biofilms. So things normally heal a lot quicker. And then we used a new product to the market called VetiGel, which is used primarily in dentals. So if you remove a, say, canine, you've got a cavity, you can then fill it with that, with this amazing product. I don't know what it is. Alginate of some sort. You moisten it.
Yes, it's derived from seaweed, brown seaweed.
Yeah. It causes it to clot. We then placed it over the sutured area on the axolotl. So we had a waterproof barrier when we put it back into its water to stop any infection potentially happening. And Axie's doing amazing. And we've seen him back a couple of times and he's not eating any more stones, which is a bonus.
That's good. Excellent. That's good stuff.
But yeah, essentially, incredible. your first port of call was to...
On the Adaptix.
Use this Adaptix 3D machine to say exactly what was going on. Brilliant.
I'm always blown away by what you do there, Craig. It's incredible.
Absolutely.
And it sounds to everybody that I work in an amazing, wonderful spaceship. It's not. It's a shed with some technology and some plugs in it. But everything we've got, we can use, and it's fit for purpose. And if anybody's heard me before, a lot of what we do with the exotics, it's taking your first principles you've got for cat and dog work, throwing it in the air and trying to catch which pages fall down quickest, and then making it up as you go along. And it's using transferable skills and using other ways and means. And if it wasn't for the exotic work and the non-traditional companion work, I think I'd be bored doing castrates and second vaccinations and flea and worm consults.
Surely not.
You know, I do like going in when we've got the cat charities in to help stick IV lines into kittens and go ahead and help there with the anesthetics when we've not got much on.
Yeah. Fair enough. I'll tell you, I've learned a hell of a lot.
Me too.
I'd like you to cast your mind back, Craig, if you could, to the last time you came on Veterinary Ramblings. And we had a section there which we've run from pretty much from day one, which we call 60-second CPD.
I remember.
Oh,
can
dear.
Can I just remember how to make cakes or something?
I can't remember. I think you did something like that. But I'd like to... If I could, I'd like to challenge you. If you're up for it, would you be prepared to take the 60-second CPD challenge again?
Go for it. This is off the cuff.
Okay.
But let's do it.
All right. Okay. Well, why don't you... Let's try and make it easy for you rather than discussing Greek mythology or the advances of the SS Enterprise and Star Trek. Let's talk about another future development then. 60-second CPD. Craig Tessiman, 60 seconds starting... Now,
fabulous. So, there's a clock. What's not to love about the Adaptix? The price point for the unit is probably cheaper than buying a new X-ray machine or a CT machine. You don't need a new room. You don't need a whole X-ray suite to do this. You don't need a CT room or an MRI where you're building extensions onto the practice. And you can move it. You can move it around the practice as we discussed. So this can be taken into every theatre as you need to do it. The possibilities are kind of limitless on what you can do and what species you can put on there. As long as it will fit on the plate, you can get images that you can use. It saves time, it saves money, it saves radiation that's being used. It's safer for the patients, it's safer for the technicians who are using the images as well. And there's a cost saving aid to the practice, because you will make the money back on this really quickly, but it's a cost saving to the clients as well, who may not have the finances for 7 or 8 x-rays and a large procedure. So yeah, get in touch with Adaptics and buy one.
Well, there we go. Perfect.
There we go.
I'm so good at this 1 minute CPD. Can we do this all the time?
Well, do you want to do another one then?
No.
On how to make cakes for axons.
How to make cakes. I'm in the middle of writing 2 at the minute. I can do anesthetics on rabbits, and I can do how to take... I've got one coming up for a conference, how to take blood from a stone and anything else that might come into the veterinary practice.
Take blood from a stonefish.
Oh, my new skill, which is absolutely terrifying, and I hold my breath the whole time I do it, is taking jugular blood samples from leopard geckos.
Wow. Gosh. I took blood from the tail vein of a leopard gecko once. About a drop that I was able to examine under the microscope. But
I'm getting 0.3 to 0.4 of a mil, depending on the size.
Well, that's amazing.
Don't take it from the tail in case it drops the tail.
Yes. Yeah. So this is back when I was working with Steve Divers many, many moons ago.
Wonderful Steve Divers.
Professor yeah. Steve Divers.
Professor, her professor, Steve Divers.
Or yeah. Isn't it Stephen? Professor Stephen Divers.
Oh, yes. Oh, he's gone all posh, hasn't he?
Yeah. Full name.
And Steve, of course, is an old friend of ours who currently works out of Florida, I think.
Yeah.
Florida State University.
Florida State University. We've got to get Steve back again.
We should. But we've got Craig here now, who I think deserves a certificate for that amazing CPD.
A record of achievement.
It's a CPD certificate for you, and it says, is the bird? Is the plane? No, it's Tessie Man. There we go. And we've got, because it's all exotic, there we go, there's a nice slow worm there. And there's a rat snake eating a rat to show it's a rat snake. There's a Komodo dragon. That's why I've been mentioning Komodo dragons all night, because I put one on the certificate.
I want this one.
And I thought, let's get a nice picture of a skull. So there's a skull. Unfortunately, it's a human skull. But you can see, looking at that, if you just take a flat 2D view of that, it's going to be very confusing, isn't it? Because there's all sorts of levels and layers of bones there. And finally, I thought I'd say that actually, like the duck here, there's no huge bill. So there we go. It all segues together. But that rather strange certificate is
by way of checking his head here for some reason.
Yes. That strange certificate is by way of thank you for an amazing evening CPD.
Ah, yeah, but he hasn't mm-hmm. Given us a reflection question.
Oh, no, he hasn't. We've got to comply. Not our CBS compliant without the reflection question.
This is a question for you then, Craig. Question for our audience and our listeners and viewers. Something to reflect on, possibly on maybe on something we've covered tonight, or maybe something that's close to your heart. Doesn't need to be what we've covered tonight.
If you have the opportunity to save the practice and your clients money, why are you not buying an Adaptic system?
Well, there we go. Why not?
That's a pretty straightforward reflection question.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get this through my head, the fact that you can see one side of the tooth to the other side of the tooth, or you can track an abscess, because obviously you may get an idea that you've got an abscess running somewhere on a two-dimensional x-ray. But from what I'm hearing, you could track from which tooth and where this abscess goes quite accurately with the Adaptics 3D.
Yeah. You can. Adaptics Autobot. You can zoom through on the tooth. So if this is your lower level where the jaw is, you can see that this is the outside level. You can see that this is the inside level, but you can also see what's inside of the tooth as well. Because the image that you're seeing is that image. I'm sorry to our listeners. You can see a cut through of the actual tooth.
Yes, I should say, for those listeners who aren't able to see, it's that way, not that way.
Yeah.
Good. I think I'm helped.
Anybody watching in black and white, the blue ball is behind the red ball.
That's quite a thing, actually, isn't it? Because I think the rugby union got into a lot of trouble with people, because some rugby kits are predominantly green and some are predominantly red. And so
if you have red-green
colour blindness, you can't actually distinguish which side is which.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So Ireland versus Wales is the one that the Six Nations rugby tournament that always gets pulled out as the example of this, because Ireland play with the green shirt and white shorts. Mm-hmm. Wales play with a red shirt and white shorts. And other than subtleties in the shading on the shirts, there's very little difference between them.
Which is fortunate, because the teams have very little difference between them either. They're both as good as each other, aren't they? Yeah, it doesn't really matter which one you watch, shout for.
Probably not, but
did I miss the point?
It's a confusing 80 minutes if you don't know which team you're supporting, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah, always difficult to tell whether there's a foul as well, or just someone not liking his own team player.
For our American listeners, rugby union is like American football without the pads and the helmets, and you can only throw the ball backwards. You can't throw it forwards.
But you can kick it forwards.
You can kick it forwards.
Let's not confuse the issue. Let's tune back and explain the rules of cricket once more, shall we?
What, about the 11 players that are in and 11 yes. players that are out?
Yeah.
And the team that are in put two players in the middle of the pitch.
That's it.
And then the 11 players that are out try and get the two players that are in out.
Yeah.
And yeah. then when they've got a player out, another player who was out comes in. And mm-hmm. it carries on for 5 days.
About 5 days, yeah.
And then when all the players that were in are out, all
then the players are out.
Then go in. Yeah.
It's pretty simple. Yeah.
I'm British and I didn't understand a word of what you've both just said.
It's cricket.
Yeah. I used to play silly midfield. I loved it. Hardly ever saw a ball, but I got a lot of reading done.
Just topped up your tan while you're out there.
Yeah,
there we go.
Thermos flask of coffee.
Yeah. Great British games invented by great British people. My word. There we go. We've rambled.
We'll play
again.
The game of Mornings and Crescent next week, shall we? Let's go for that one.
Oh, we could do. We could. Have you come across Mornings and Crescent, Craig?
No. I think I've stumbled onto the wrong podcast. What is going on?
One of my old bosses.
This is about a 3D X-ray machine. We're now talking about sports.
One of my old bosses was not of this country initially, and he was very confused. He used to listen to the radio show in which the game of Mornings and Crescent was on, and he was convinced it was a proper game. And he came to me once. He said, "I figured it out. It's taken me about a year, but I figured it out." I thought, "Oh yeah, we good?" He said, "Yes, I now know the rules." Ah. They say, good, I'm very pleased. I'm not going to say any more of that because we'll give the game away for anyone who hasn't heard it.
Well, no. It's a systematic journey through London.
Yes, and very systematic because the system depends on what rules you follow. I usually follow the 1976 variant of Queensbury rules.
No.
Don't you? No?
No. Not
but what do you go for?
Me? I'm freebase.
Starts from Paddington, missing out Bakerloo.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's quite a hardcore game.
It's brutal, isn't it? It's a short circuit. You're going off all around the houses and all around the underground, and I just straight through. It's like the Queen's Gambit in chess.
Yes. Oh.
Yes.
Craig's
well, hello,
quite
Craig.
Confused.
Sorry, were we ignoring you for a second?
I suggest people go and listen to the quiz show.
Yeah, which quiz show is it?
I was trying to remember. It used to have Humphrey Littleton on it, didn't it?
It did, yeah.
It's got Jack D now who does it. Oh, what quiz show is it? Are you looking it up?
Yeah.
You look it up. Humphrey Littleton was fantastic. He had a very flat sense of humour. And Jack D has, I think, taken that really well, as only Jack D could.
Absolutely. In fact, I've just Googled it, and oh my word. It's on I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue.
That's, of course it is. I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue.
That's right. Yeah.
where they also play the game of Swanee Kazoo.
Yes.
Where they have to recite a well-known tune played on the Swanee whistle or kazoo.
Yeah. These, of course, are BBC Radio 4 programmes that you can get on iPlayer, BBC iPlayer.
So if you've got a night off listening to the Veterinary Ramblings, you could listen to the other offerings from Radio 4.
Yeah. Mind you, you do a podcast as well, don't you, Craig?
Oh, BV and I have started doing some podcasts that we've tried to ramp up into the year 2024. Yeah, we do a presidential podcast with the president once a month. We discuss the previous goings of what the president's been up to. And a lot of that at the moment is on our Protect the Title campaign, which we discussed earlier, and also with all of the toolkits and the working groups that BV and I are actually working through. And it's just a nice way for people to actually hear what's going on in the background, because as I'm sure you're both fully aware, if nothing ever goes through at a quick pace, everything's snail pace, but it's just nice for people to know what's actually happening.
Yeah.
We also have another podcast with the students, and we have a podcast where we're being introduced to all of the council members. So we get to see who the council members are behind the scenes, a little bit like with what you guys have done with this, to show that we're all human beings at the end of the day, not just veterinary nurse robots.
So how can people listen to that?
Spotify. And we have now gone on to YouTube, so you can see my beautiful face again. If you search BVNA on any of those platforms, you will be able to find it.
So BVNA podcast.
Yes, that's correct.
Cool.
Okay, we'll be sure to do that. Right. And I'm going to be president of the BSAVA this year. And I believe that when I'm in my dotage, the senior vice president, you will be the junior.
I think I'll be junior at that point. Yeah, there's been a couple of changes in my roadmap through BVNA. And at the moment, just with everything that's happening and we're being so busy and taking a little tiny bit of a break, the way I'm describing is it's not the end of my chapter. It's my mid-season break and I will be back. And hopefully when you're your SVP, I'll be stepping into JVP. So we get to work with each other more and see each other all the time. And I'm just hoping that you still... I am hoping that you turn up in lots of blue face paint again at BVNA Congress.
Green? That was green.
Was it green?
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So you're blue-green colourblind.
All I remember is it was still there the following morning.
It was. And I think the hotel probably had to throw the sheets away. And I'm not going to explain that at all.
My mind's blown with SVPA, BSAVA, and JVPBVNA, and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, all right, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah, okay. SVP is senior vice president, which is the year after presidential. JVP is junior vice president before you go into the presidential role. BVNA, British Veterinary Nursing Association, and BSAVA, British Small Animal Veterinary Association. They're all acronyms. We live in a world of just letters. But you get the more and more you get into this, it's more letters. There's some crazy things we've got on BVNA, and I still don't know what those letters stand for and get confused every time I have to talk about it.
Yeah.
BWAP and PARG, and yeah, NTCA is the new one, which is non-traditional companion animal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We used to call it exotics, but everyone knew what that meant, so they had to change it.
Yeah.
I'm a school governor, and the TLAs we have for that, three-letter abbreviations, are quite confusing. It took me about 3 years to admit that I didn't know half of them. and of course, they then cross over. So we have a few veterinary ones, or a few three-letter abbreviations that obviously mean very different things in a school environment. And someone says it, you think, it's a bit off, isn't it? How does that? Oh, I see. Okay, yeah.
Well, moving forwards with all this management speak and letter abbreviations, it's almost TTFN.
It is. Ta-ta for now.
Craig's looking at me as if he's never heard
very
TTFN.
Nice segue there.
I've heard of TTFN.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean ta-ta for now. That's brilliant stuff. Absolutely brilliant. Listen, Craig, as ever, top draw stuff.
Thank you so much. You've educated us immensely as always. I'm really fired up about this Adaptix. Lovely hearing about that.
Yeah.
And I think we'll give our viewers and listeners some information as to where they can get hold of more info about Adaptix.
Absolutely.
At the end of the show.
It's a wonderful piece of kit. And if you see the guys at any of the CPD and the conferences, go and have a chat with them. And we can talk about it and I can blow smoke up it as much as I potentially want. But until you actually see those images and you see it and you see how small the unit is and what it's able to produce, it then starts to speak for itself a little bit more.
Brilliant stuff.
Well, thanks for telling us about it.
Thanks for sharing it with us. I mean, my mind is blown. In fact, I want one. I don't even do it, try.
Just go on.
Yeah, go on.
Thank you so much for having me back again, guys. Hopefully I'll see you again in the future, maybe.
Looking forward to it, Craig. In the meantime, may your dog go with you.
May your dog go with you.
You take
care.
Or
your bearded dragon.
Or your bearded dragon. May your bearded dragon go with you. Cheers.
Cheers, then.
Take care, guys.
May all that go with you and more. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
And cut. How was that?
We go again.
Yeah, shall we?
Well, you want to re-record it?
Yeah, didn't like any of it. Let's start again.
Take care, guys. It's been lovely to see you both.
And you. Cheers. Thanks you so too. Much for coming on.
No worries. Bye. See you in a wee bit. Take care.
Thanks, mate. Take care.
Bye. Bye.